G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome everyone to WRA. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. I hope you all went out and enjoyed local pro wrestling this past weekend like I did. I was actually on a show. I was on a really big show, actually. It was AWA's Homecoming 5. Packed house at the Kedron Wavell. It was 400 strong in that crowd. And just a great feeling. It was good to see something like that up here in Queensland from basically all local talent on that show. I mean, there was Istria from Adelaide, but he is a Queensland boy. And we did have Nacho Friends from WA and Rioni from All Japan. But Rioni is Queenslander. The only ones who really came in that weren't from Queensland per se were Nacho Friends. And to draw 400 off just your local crowd or local roster is really, really good and says something for the future, hopefully, of professional wrestling in Queensland. It just means that Queensland, just like the rest of the country, is growing and is getting better, and is really, really good to see. Something else that was good to see was a viral video that hit this week on, I guess on the internet, of a shooting star press into a DDT, and that was by our guest this week, Paris De Silva, and we'll talk to him right after this on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Successful, he is now the VPW Heavyweight Champion.
Just can you down, please? Thank you. What's the deal? Why did you make me come down here to talk to you? You know the deal we had.
Mate, I told you, I will pay you back the money I borrowed.
Look, you wanted to afford people like Will Ospreay and Gino Gambino and bring Caveman Ugg up. You wanted that. You wanted to borrow the money. It's time to pay the piper. I gave you more than enough time. End of financial year, my son. End of financial year. And by my rather expensive watch, time is up.
But look, like I said, I will give you that money. Just give me a couple more shows.
No.
I'll get you that cash.
Next month, we'll talk, okay? Big changes. Big changes next month.
Paris De Silva, thank you very much for joining me, sir.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Now, have you always been part of the PWA sort of training facility?
I've been a part of the PWA training facility for about a year and a half now. My original training was under Jay Law and Diego Ratamales of the Australian Pro Wrestling Gym.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah, so that was my first bit of training, but even when I started out wrestling, I was always very familiar with a lot of the PWA guys from doing shows with them. So, coming to PWA was eventually no choice for me.
Yeah, well, when you've got the trainers that are at PWA at the moment, especially, it's really, if you really want to do something, and if you're in New South Wales at least, and you really want to do something in professional wrestling, PWA is the place you want to be, isn't it?
Absolutely correct.
And Nui Pro—that's sort of a hand in hand thing now, aren't they?
Oh, it's a very similar roster, but I've always viewed PWA and Nui as being the standard, not just in New South Wales wrestling, but Australian wrestling as well.
Exactly. So, how would you describe your style? Because I'm guessing now, after this, let's say viral video that's came out, you're going to be known as a high flyer. So is that the style you are, or is it something that you're going to have to adopt?
I guess I don't really have a choice now, do I? But in a sense of being, you know, my size and you know, with weight and height, I really didn't have much of a choice. So high flyer is the correct term.
So for those of you sort of who've maybe been living under a rock in professional wrestling in Australia, Paris is the guy who the viral video came out after this weekend, because it was on this weekend's show. He did a shooting star DDT to Jack Bonzo, and I mean, earlier in the day, we talked to you before. I talked to you about this before we went to air. Earlier today, or earlier that weekend, I saw footage of Will Ospreay doing it. It must have been during the training seminar you guys had before the show.
Yes.
And it was a Shooting Star DDT. And one of my friends showed me this, and I said, well, that's insane. There's no way someone's going to be able to pull that off during a match, timing, et cetera, sort of stuff like that. And then, lo and behold, the next day, that video shows up of you doing it.
Yeah.
how did it come apart where they come up about where he's like, well, you can do that. Give that a crack.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like you said, it happened during the seminar, and how that came about was we're just about to wrap up the session, and a few of us were just trying some high-flying moves from the top rope, and it just came to a point where Will just asked if I could do like a Shooting Star. So I just gave him the Shooting Star, and then he goes, do you reckon you could do that into a DDT? And I wasn't very confident, but I went, oh, yeah, sure, why not? So we kind of just pulled in the mats, and we gave it a first attempt, and we almost had it. And then we just gave it one more, and that was the one that made it onto his Instagram story.
Mm. So was it you doing it, or was it him doing it? Because I heard it was him doing it.
No, it was me. He was the one that suggested for me to do the move.
Well, there you go. See, because that's one reason why I was sort of confused, because all I got was someone go, check out what Will Ospreay did. And I didn't really see, you don't see faces when you're moving that quick into that move.
Yes.
And then later on when I'd seen it on the you doing it, I thought, gee, that's weird, him actually letting another guy do the move after he just sort of invented it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, so he suggested that I try it out. And after doing it during the seminar, I really didn't think much of it. I just thought, oh, like that was just something cool to try out.
Yeah.
But it was funny because the next day I wasn't planning on doing it at all. It wasn't until till Bonza actually suggested that I do it in the match. So
are you sure?
Yeah. It's funny because I was, because I've only, it's a lot different when you've got a whole bunch of crash mats around you, So
and you don't have like 250, 300 people looking at you doing it too.
Exactly. You don't have a whole lot of time. So when he suggested it at first, I thought he was just mucking around, to be honest with you. I just thought he was joking. But it came to a point where he was very, very serious about it.
And that's Bonza.
So yeah.
He's very, very serious about most things.
That's it. So there was no, there was no maybes. It was either yes or no. So it was just one of those things where luckily, the stars aligned that night. Everything went really well on the match. And thankfully, with Bonza being the man that he is and how big and strong he is, it was very hard to miss. And, luckily it all went to plan.
Hmm. And, from what I've heard from reports, that match was amazing. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
You and Jude London, how did that sort of come about? And because you're really starting to make a big name for yourself as a tag team in the country.
Yeah. It's funny because I've known Jude very early in my career. And we always had a lot of similarities in personalities, to the point where people would actually joke around and say that we would become a tag team. And during that time, we didn't really think much of it, but it just came to a point where one day we just so happened to have the chance to tag, and the next thing you know, it's been a regular thing.
Mm, so, I guess that's sort of what you want to stick with, really, isn't it, for a while?
Well, absolutely, because me and Jude have always had that special friendship and connection, and it just felt felt right tagging with him, and I've never felt so comfortable working with somebody than Jude.
Yeah, and it's always the fact that it's always, especially if you're going to be doing sort of interstate bookings and that, it's always cool if you take your mate with you.
Oh, that's 100% right. There's very much a comfort factor with that.
Hmm. Going back with your training, have you always sort of wanted to do tags, or is the main aim singles and you've veered off into tags, or
It's funny because when I started wrestling, I was a singles wrestler, and I never envisioned myself being a tag team wrestler. But to be honest with you, I've really enjoyed tagging with Jude. I just think there's a lot more you can do with four guys than you can with two.
Mm.
And I've had a lot more opportunities since tagging with Jude, and I feel a lot more creative in the ring, more comfortable in the ring, and I'm having fun with my best friend. So you know, it's very hard for me to kind of think what lies ahead, but I see a very long future in the tag division with Jude, and if I'm going to be a tag team wrestler for the rest of my career, I'll be extremely happy.
So this is the question that always makes me feel old. When you were sort of growing up, who were the wrestlers that you sort of maybe that you've idolized and sort of try to pattern your, well, not try to pattern your career, but sort of inadvertently have patterned your career around because they're the guys liked?
Yeah, guys that have kind of like influenced me over the years. The first guy that really caught my attention was a guy like Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
So I'm talking like SmackDown 2006 around you know, that was my sort of, that
I'm
was
so when I really started,
that's when I really started to get into wrestling. So guys like Rey Mysterio were a huge influence for me. And as I kind of got a little bit older, I really started to appreciate guys like Neville.
Yep.
Neville's one of my all-time favorites. And other guys, more Japanese guys like Kota Ibushi, all of the Dragon Gate guys as well, like Masato Yoshino, Daniel Bryan, of course, Kenny Omega. Like, there's a huge, huge list of names that I can mention. But for me, the biggest that have influenced me growing up were guys like Rey Mysterio.
And it must really help you when you've got a guy like Robbie Eagles as a trainer, because that sort of style is right in his wheelhouse, isn't it?
100%. Robbie's a guy that I've always looked up to prior to training with him, but even since training with him, he continues to amaze me with the knowledge that he has of not just wrestling in general, but high-flying wrestling as well.
And just talk about, because I know, what's it been, the second or third time now that Will Ospreay's been down there?
It's been the third time now. So,
and has he done a seminar sort of every time he's been there, or?
He did one when he first came down, which was about a year ago, and the most recent one was his second.
Okay, so, and like, I'm guessing that every time he comes down, that seminar sort of gets more advanced.
It's funny, it's very true, you know, being a seminar, sometimes you may not think too much about it, but when Will first came down, we were doing, like, ridiculous things. Like, we were doing Canadian Destroyers, you know, Ranas, just things that, and I'm you know, this was a seminar that was for all experience levels, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not just talking about guys who have been wrestling for a long time. Like, there were some guys who have never been on the top rope before as well. And, you know, they were learning things that at a pace that was so quick, but having that encouragement and being able to see Will being that impressed by us just kind of motivated us just to continue more and more and push ourselves.
Yeah. When you've got a guy that's got have that level of not only experience, but that level of sort of regard that he's held in around the world, to know that when that guy says, "Yeah, you're doing really well," then you know that you're doing really well.
100%.
Going forward, is there guys that you really say around the country, or well, I guess around the world, that you'd love to work? Because nowadays, the world of wrestling at least has really shrunk, where we do get a lot of internationals come down. And so, is there anyone sort of locally and internationally you'd love to work as a tag or as a singles?
Absolutely. For me, mostly in the situation that I am as in a tag team, a lot of local names that come up for me would be guys like the Untouchables of Damian Slater and Marcus Pitt. Guys like Robbie Eagles and Matt Diamond of Lightspeed Express. I'd love for them to be to reunite as a tag team and possibly go one-on-one with them. And I guess for me, there's one international name that sticks out, and that would be Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
You know, Will's a guy who's been very supportive of some of the stuff that I've been doing.
And you've got a nice level of like familiarity around him.
Yeah, correct. And I mean, Will's a guy who you know, gave me the Shooting Star DDT. He was the one that suggested it. You know, I didn't even think about it. So I feel like a lot of credit goes to him with what's been happening over the last few days with myself, you know, and just being able to get that video out there. You know, Will gets a lot of credit for that because he, like I said, he started it.
It's amazing that there are guys out there that they can just see a move and go, can you do this into this?
Absolutely.
I know there's a guy up here, Tim Cade. I'm up in Queensland. The guy up here, Tim Cade, and he asked somebody, and now he's incorporated into like part of his moves into a match. He can do when he holds a guy into a fireman's, switch him around into a Canadian destroyer.
Yes.
And when he described it to me, I'm like, you can't even do that.
It's amazing what the human body can do sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. What are your plans sort of going forward? Are you looking to go international, or is it the fact that you don't really have to now because of, well, of course, if you want to make it an absolute career where it pays your bills, you have to go international.
Yes.
But and which way would you like to go? Is it more like the, because like I sell this to a lot of people now. It used to be just like you go to America and that's pretty much that's where you have to go. But nowadays you can go to England, you can go to Japan, and you can go to America. So is there a particular place you'd love to go? Like, would you like to be like a young boy at New Japan and work your way through there, or work your way through like England, like a few guys have nowadays?
Yes. I mean, I think it's everybody's aspiration to go overseas as a wrestler. For me, it is anyway, especially. But at the same time, you know, things are picking up over here as well, and the scene is growing. I think it's getting to a point where our work can get noticed here internationally.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, I'd love to be able to have the opportunity to go to Japan and wrestle. I've always really enjoyed the style and the passion of Japanese wrestling. But at the same time, like, I'd love to be able to go to America and the UK as well. Whenever there's an opportunity in any of those scenes, because they're just so vibrant. But, you know, it's hard to pick. But for me, Japan would be the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. But the UK and the United States at the exact same time are just as good. So, quite frankly, it's hard to say where to go and what the future holds. But whether it be internationally or here at home, building up the scene, either way, I'm very happy where I am. And we'll just have to see what the future holds. I wish I could give you a better answer, but I honestly don't know.
Yeah. Sort of going back to your training at PWA, because you have someone like Jack Bonzer, how much time do you spend? Like, because I know at training, people spend a lot of time going through your moves and your drills to make sure that everything is crisp and all that. But with someone like Jack Bonzer there, how much time do you spend just sitting around and talking about the psychology of a match? Because I know that's something he's really big on, is the psychology of a match and the psychology of a card.
Yes, that's correct. And the other thing too, Jack Bonzer isn't just in charge of, you know, not just in charge of kind of putting the match together, but he's got a lot of other duties as well. He's got to help organize the show, you know, organize the venues. Like, there's a lot on Jack Bonzer's plate.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just listening to him about psychology blows my mind, because you're constantly learning with Jack. And I'm at a point in my career where I'm still learning. You know, I think we are continually learning.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But just the intricate details that Bonzer has at telling stories and the little things he picks up on that not many people can,
mm-hmm.
it's unbelievable the way he can break down a match.
Because your sort of style, or the high-flying style, lends itself to more of a – you have more of a danger of having a match become a spot fest more than telling a story. And I know that Bonzer's very into telling stories. So that must be a very tricky sort of like tightrope you have to walk where, oh, hang on, I'm doing a little too much here where I don't need to do this much. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, as much as I can do, you know, a shooting star DDT, I don't want that to be my definition of a wrestler.
Yeah.
I don't want to be defined as just a guy that can do flips. And I mean, once the match is released, I honestly don't do a lot of flips in that match. That's the only flip that I do. So, and that just goes down to Steve as well, and the story that we tell. So, for me, you know, it is a bit of a tightrope, but at the same time, that's just because of inexperience as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still trying to grasp the concept of different psychologies when it comes to different sorts of matches, you know, against different competitors, because every story is different. But at the same time, you know, I'd like to wrestle based on what kind of story I want to tell rather than the moves that I can do.
Yeah. And that's really, to me, that's what I love about wrestling, the stories. Like, I love that people can do these amazing stuff like the shooting star DDT or the fireman's into a Canadian.
But
take me on a journey for the match.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what makes those moves even more special is being able to save them as well.
Yeah, to be able to tease them.
Well, that's what I mean. And the thing is, like, as cool as that move is, It's very difficult, and if I'm hitting that thing every every match, I don't know how much longer I can wrestle for, you know. So that's it. Wrestling's a journey, and it's about saving your stuff, and you know, every encounter is different. You know, every encounter in the ring depends on who you're working, you know, the size of your competitor, and the story you want to tell.
And you've got this weekend, I think it is. It's the Nui Pro Rumble. You're in it.
Yes, correct, correct. Yeah. One of our biggest shows of the year for Newcastle Pro Wrestling. This Saturday, I will be in the Rumble match, and it's looking to be another full house, in ring and out of the ring as well.
Always, yeah. That's one thing. There's like certain things that I'd love to get to around the country, like certain shows that I'd love to get to around the country. The Nui Pro Rumble is one of them. Like MC, I'd love to be able to get down to MCW 100 or this weekend. I'd love to be able to do that. It's sort of like there are certain shows around the year. I know that every year I want to go to that Nui Pro Rumble. I just haven't been able to get to it. And I just want to see how that crowd reacts, because you see it all the time on the videos and your photos that they get a jam-packed house. I just want to feel that energy.
Yes, it's funny because the Newcastle Rumble was my first ever experience with like the Nui Pro and PWA roster, and it just completely blew my mind on just how big it can be. It's such an encouraging environment, you know, all around the country, whether it be MCW, PWA, Nui Pro, EPW, Wrestle Rampage. I mean, there are shows everywhere, and to see them all picking up steam, it's an encouraging sight, and hopefully the rest of the world will take notice.
Yeah, it's amazing when you go from like shows that don't have a hell of a lot of production behind them to a show that's got some production behind it. You walk out there and you're like, I actually really feel like a star now.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Nui Pro, man, when it comes to our Rumble shows and the majority of shows, there's a real atmosphere. There are a lot of people in that building.
Yeah, and just I don't think people that are at that attend those shows understand the feeling that you get when you're out there and you can feel like the 300 people, 400 people looking at you and getting behind anything you do. I don't think they understand that energy that caught that adrenaline that goes through your body.
I think there is a difference between feelings, obviously, between, you know, being out there in ring and watching as a fan, but I mean at the same time they're creating the energy.
Exactly.
So I think they've got some familiarity.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, I was at AEWA Homecoming up here in Queensland this weekend, and they had 400 people in attendance, and it was like I've had the worst back for the last couple of months. I just can't shake it. To the point where, like, because I'm a manager, I was like, I really don't know how much I can do out there, boys. I'm going to try and do as much as you need me to do. As soon as I went out there and I felt that crowd, I didn't feel my back at all.
Yes.
And that it's amazing when you get back. They're like, how are you, right? Were your back sore? I said, yeah, my back was fine.
It's like, just that rush. It's that rush, you know, you kind of don't have much control over it.
No, and it makes you want it more, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that's what I mean. That's when you're out there, man, you can do things that you never thought you could.
Exactly. And I guess that's why after, how long would it have been? Would have been what, 20 minutes of work before you hit that shooting star?
Yeah, but I mean, when you're wrestling guys like Mick Moretti and Jack Bonza, you know, you're putting in a lot of work and effort. Yeah. So it was a tough grind, but when you just get that energy of the crowd and that sight, man, you have no choice.
Yeah, exactly. All right, mate, thank you very much for joining us. For people around the country that want to follow what Paris the Silver is up to, how can they do it on your socials?
Yes, not a problem. On Instagram, at the Spartan of the Skies. I'm also on Twitter at Paris the Silver 22 and Paris the Silver on Facebook.
Awesome. Paris, thank you very much for joining me, mate.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
It's now time to find out where the action is around the country this weekend. And in New South Wales on Friday the 17th, Vulcan Pro Wrestling presents Stanmore Stampede 3 at the Cypress Community Centre. Tickets for that one at vulcanprowrestling.com. On Saturday the 18th, the big show that my guest Paris the Silver will be on, Nui Pro Wrestling presents Nui Pro Rumble at the Charlestown Bowling Club. Tickets for that one at newcastleprowrestling.com. I shouldn't really even have to tell you the card for this one because it is Newcastle Pro. They are one of, if not the best promotion in New South Wales. Get around and see it. If you don't get there, well, if you don't get there early and don't get your tickets early, you will probably miss out. This will probably sell out. So get there, newcastleprowrestling.com for tickets on that one. And in Victoria, MCW 100 at the Melbourne Sports and Aquatic Centre. Big arena for a really big show. Main event for that one, Jonah Rock versus Tetsuya Naito from New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, this is a match you want to get to. I mean, this is a show you want to get to. If there's a show around the country, if you wanted to fly in for a local independent show around the country, this is the one to fly into. Jonah Rock, Tetsuya Naito. There's an MCW Championship match under First Blood rules. Gina Gambino with Sebastian Walker versus Jet Dowry James. An Inter-Commonwealth title match. Slex will defend against Will Ospreay. Kellyanne is taking on Madison Eagles. There'll be Bad Luck Fale, Caveman Ugg, JXT, Sid Parker, and much, much more. For that one, ticketbooth.com.au for tickets. Get to this show if you're in Melbourne. Hell, if you're close enough to get to Melbourne, get online, get your tickets, and get to this show. It will be an absolute cracker. In Western Australia, New Horizons Pro Wrestling presents NHPW Guardians of Wrestling at the Cockburn Youth Centre. Perthwrestling.com.au for tickets for that one. In South Australia, PWSA have the Cole Devaney Memorial Card. Now, if you all don't know who Cole Devaney is, he is pretty much the godfather of wrestling in South Australia. Damien Slater, Jag, Wolfdog, who we've talked to on the show before, the Basso Boys, all of them trained by Cole Devaney, and he really is, or was, or is, the godfather of pro wrestling in South Australia. So get over there and pay respects to that man. Main event for that one is a PWSA title match, Matt Hayter against Joe Mundy. It is at the PWSA Arena in Paraka. Tickets for that one at 0402 472 564. That is 0402 472 564, or message them on their Facebook page so you can get in contact and find out how to get tickets for that one. And to wrap it up, in Queensland, UPW Undisputed Glory at the Shed Aussie World. One of the big matches on this one that I think stands out to me is EC Diamond taking on 13. 13 is one of the better wrestlers, or one of the best wrestlers in the state. It's a pity he doesn't get to more promotions, but yeah, and EC Diamond is, in my opinion, one of the best young wrestlers coming up in professional wrestling in Queensland. Get out and see him. Also, my boys Jamie Luxford and Youngblood Jesse Love will be on the card. But that doesn't matter. Get out there and support pro wrestling in Queensland. Tickets for that one are at stickytickets.com.au. And that's it for where the action is this weekend around the country. Yes, well, that'll about wrap us up for this edition of Wrestle Radio Australia. Big thanks to my guest, Paris De Silva. Also, thank you to Jack Bonza for getting me in contact with Paris for a good chat. Nice guy, and what a move. And he's not just a guy with one move. So let's put that right out there. That one unbelievable move does not measure the man. He is a really good wrestler. Really good, like I say, like most of the people that I talk to on WRA, a good up-and-coming young wrestler. That's all there is in Australia at the moment. Good up-and-coming young wrestlers. Get out there and support him if he's on the show. Promoters around the country, if you want to book him, get in contact with him through his Facebook page. You will definitely get your money's worth. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia. And on Twitter, at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally, at Beast Eastman. And next week, we will have a special guest recorded today. But like I said, I really wanted to talk to Paris De Silva and get him on to talk about that viral video, and B, to promote Nui Pro Rumble, which is coming up this weekend. Next week's guest will be Big Keegsy B, Keegan Brettle. Really unique story for the guy. Professional wrestler, Australian professional wrestler, if you do know him. Different route to trying to crack the American market, and we'll talk more about that next week. But until then, before we go, it is Todd's wrestling song, and this one is by a famous band, the Ramones, The Crusher, and we'll see you next time right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.